The Perfect Storm is the new movie based on Sebastian Younger's best-selling nonfiction book. It stars George Clooney and is directed by Wolfgang Peterson, who made Das Boot. Guest critic Henry Sheehan has a review.
The Perfect Storm has an old-fashioned watchability you don't get in movies much anymore. The story of six Gloucester fishermen who, in 1991, get caught in a three-sided cataclysmic storm builds simply and efficiently towards a white-knuckle climax. Moviegoers also lucked out when some top-ranked stars, including Mel Gibson, dropped out of the project. That left George Clooney to play the captain of the sword-fishing boat, the Andrea Gale. I find Clooney one of the most relaxed of all leading men, a pleasure to spend time with. I not only want to know what his character, Captain Billy Tyne, is going to do, but how he's going to feel about it and whether he'll share those feelings. Despite some execrable dialogue and some special effects that look like cartoon leftovers, The Perfect Storm is more than just a good adventure movie with the usual Hollywood shortcomings. That's because of Wolfgang Peterson's direction. Lately, Peterson has been an efficient overseer of Hollywood action fare, ranging from the relative sobriety of In the Line of Fire to the sheer silliness of Air Force One. This is the Peterson whom the studio handed The Perfect Storm script. But this sea story must also have appealed to another side of Peterson's creative personality. That's the side that made Das Boot and The Neverending Story. Both Petersons fought it out for control of The Perfect Storm. The clash begins in this scene, featuring Clooney and Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, who plays a friendly rival captain. Clooney's character has decided to go back out to sea late in the season when the weather turns risky.
Your guys are loading bait and groceries. You doing a turnaround?
No rest for the weary.
Well, there you go. Flaunting your work ethic.
I don't have a work ethic. I just have work. I'm going to catch up to you.
I love to watch you study charts.
Why?
Because you know them all by heart.
What's so special about today?
Thought I'd make a pass. No, you see, the thing is, Captain, I'm looking for a guy to come home to Maine with me, buy a house, and raise a few kids.
And what does that guy and you do after?
Oh. Now, come on, look, the thing is, I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm fit to do this. I just don't see the romance in it.
But you got it, Captain Greenlaw. You do, believe me. I see them come and go. The day I laid eyes on you, I said to myself, she's going to be a good one. You can't be good unless you love it.
That scene is really about the motive for going back to sea. As far as the pure story elements are concerned, the matter is economic. Tyne and his crew have just had a disappointing catch. But if you look at Clooney's performance with its hints of Ahab and at Peterson's direction, you see the beginnings of a more mystical motive, the call of fate and the sea. So a tension sets in for The Perfect Storm. One theme, that of fishermen as blue-collar workers struggling to make a living, is carried mostly by the dialogue. And pretty fishy dialogue it is, too. The script foists on them the kind of phony proletarian lyricism that should have been buried with Clifford Odets. It's left to the excellent performers John C. Reilly and William Fichtner as two of the crew to play a part in the movie's more mythic developments, a side of the film that is purely visual. For most of the voyage, the two are bitter enemies. Then Riley's character falls overboard, and Fichtner's is the first to jump in after him. I found myself going in with them, undergoing a pagan baptism, for when the two finally emerge, they are no longer foes or even just crewmates, but good comrades. This isn't the only scene in which the sea purifies. A subplot involves a pleasure craft, its rescue by a Coast Guard helicopter crew, and then that crew's own rescue when they are forced to ditch. But no one undergoes the gauntlet of tests as those on board the Andrea Gale. Before the movie's climax, when the sea rises to untold of heights, with the unfortunately obvious help of computer animation, the sun suddenly smiles from behind the clouds. It's clearly a benediction, a sign that the men with their petty squabbles and ambitions behind them have reached a state of worthiness. And Peterson, too, may have found his old self in these same roiling waters.
Henry Sheehan is film critic for the Orange County Register.